Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Missouri Democrats had yet another disappointing election cycle. The party's candidates got blown out in statewide races for governor in the U.S. Senate, and Democrats failed to gain any seats in the Missouri House or the Missouri Senate. This wasn't what Democrats were expecting to happen. Some were hoping that a ballot item legalizing abortion would help boost the party's prospects, but plenty of Missourians who were upset over the state's near total ban on the procedure voted for GOP candidates anyways. With the party firmly out of power in Missouri, Democrats like State Senator-elect Stephen Weber expect a long, difficult road ahead.
Look, I think for Missouri Democrats, it's a long road. There is not a shortcut. There is not a bright, shiny object. It's about putting together multiple cycles where we make sustainable, steady progress. So what that means is that, look, we're not going to win a statewide race until we can win a legislative seat in St. Charles, right? We need to make progress in places like St. Charles, like Platte County, like Greene County. We've done a lot already in Boone. We need to win some areas like that, and we need to close the legislative numbers. And it's going to be small gains for a couple. We have to do that for a couple cycles in a row. And anybody that tries to say that they know that there's one answer, like there just isn't. It's going to be a long process. It can be done, but it's a long process.
Joining us in studio to talk about what's next for Missouri Democrats is Russ Carnahan, who has served as the chairman of the Missouri Democratic Party since March 2023. Before taking on that role, Carnahan represented Missouri's 3rd Congressional District from 2005 to 2013, which included parts of St. Louis, St. Louis County, Jefferson County, and St. Genevieve County. Before that, he served in the Missouri House and played a key political role in his father, the former Governor Mel Carnahan's, political campaigns. Chairman Carnahan, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Good to be back with you again.
Why do you think Missouri Democrats failed to gain ground in the legislature or in statewide races this year?
Well, we went through a national wave election, not just in Missouri. And one of the things is we have been continuing to dig into the data and the numbers, interviewing experts and regular everyday people, candidates. We've built a bunch of new and better infrastructure in the party, did some great candidate recruitment, fundraising, messaging. But at the end of the day in this election, we didn't gain any legislative seats. We held the seats we had. And in this kind of a year, that's, half a glass, I guess. Certainly, we would have liked to have picked up seats, and many of the seats we didn't pick up were with a few hundred votes. So we think in a better year, we'll do better picking up those seats. And of course, the issues that Democrats championed on the ballot also did very well this cycle. So we have some good things post-election, not what we would like it to have been, but we've got a lot of good things to build on.
What do you think the party or party leaders could have done differently to actually gain seats in the legislature? I understand that winning a statewide race is probably a multi-year project, given the need to build the rural, urban, suburban coalition back together. But like, what about the state legislative races? Like, what could have been done differently there?
Well, I think one of the things that was done differently and better this time was the state party coordinating better with the state Senate and state House campaign committees. Coordinating with candidate recruitment. We actually had the best candidate recruitment. We had about 85% of all the state legislative races filled with Democratic candidates. And that's the best we've had in recruitment since 2008. So again, we fielded more candidates, better funded. But at the end of the day, they were still outspent. But the races that were the most competitive were the candidates were out there who had done better in fundraising and were out there on the doors. And when voters saw our candidates, even in tough races, they were able to win or get close. So again, it's a matter of funding, recruiting, and getting those candidates to meet voters at their doors. And that's where Democrats have done better.
I want to go in two different directions that you already touched on. One is the national environment. There was some optimism that Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris could energize Missouri's female and black voters. But not only did that not really happen, she actually lost to Donald Trump here by about 18.4%, about the same margin that Trump defeated Hillary Clinton in 2016 in Missouri. And I'm just going to be very candid. It's very difficult for Democrats to win when the presidential nominee is losing by that margin. Why do you think Harris failed to connect here?
I don't have all the answers to that. I think some of the obvious ones are there's still some prejudice about African-American candidates, still some prejudice about female candidates. She had to run probably the shortest presidential campaign in American political history. And in many ways, she did that well with record fundraising. She still, I think, that shortened campaign made it very difficult for her to get better known. And then I think finally, even though the economy was doing quite well, the Wall Street Journal, you know, headline before the election was the next president's going to, you know, inherit one of the best economies in American history. Not everyone felt that. And so she had to try to walk that line of trying to separate herself some from Biden, but also run on her own economic plan. And we saw the results of that.
This may seem like inside baseball, but this is a really important factor in the results. We have to talk about the lack of significant national Democratic Party investment in Missouri. And yes, I know the party received a few hundred thousand dollars from the DNC, but that's nothing compared to what the DSCC or the Democratic Governors Association could have contributed if they had targeted Missouri's U.S. Senate and governor's race, which they didn't. Why do you think the party nationally didn't support either Crystal Quaid or Lucas Kuntz? And is that a sign the National Democratic Party has given up on gaining ground in Missouri?
I think we have received some good national support, as you've mentioned, both to run the party-run presidential primary early this year and also for the fall campaign. But we've been able to build better infrastructure with that. And so we're going to be in a better shape for the next election. So I think it's a cumulative thing. But they also, we're not a top-tier state. I mean, we're not. But we aspire to be and want to build the infrastructure to be. And looking at great examples of other states that have done this, Minnesota is probably one of my favorite examples because not many years ago, their politics in Minnesota looked a lot like Missouri today. And over a few election cycles, they turned it around. They got the governorship back. They flipped the legislature back. And so there's some good models out there for us to follow, and we're learning from that.
Another thing that you alluded to earlier was how voters embraced progressive policy initiatives like increasing the minimum wage or legalizing abortion. And I think there were some Missouri Democrats in particular who were disappointed that Amendment 3's passage didn't lead to a coattails effect, especially for state legislative races. Is that just a sign that maybe ballot initiatives are not like the magical solution for Democratic gains as people assumed? I mean, there aren't many examples of a ballot initiative making a difference in general elections. Maybe the stem cell initiative in 2006 is kind of an outlier, but it did not seem to have the coattail effects that people wanted. Why do you think that is?
Missouri has had an odd history with this over many elections where there's been issues on the ballot that have carried, that Democrats have championed, that Republicans have fought tooth and nail, yet voters are voting for Republican legislators. And I think we have to do a better job communicating that difference. You know, who's fighting for those rights and who's trying to stymie them? And I think that's on Democrats to make that case. And that alone is probably not enough, to your point, to get people's vote. But in the context of everything else you're doing with an economic message, a reform message, and frankly, it's the job of Democrats as the minority party to shine a big, bright spotlight on the extremism or backward policies that Republicans bring up.
Well, we got a lot of listener feedback to my prompt on social media. What do you think the Missouri Democratic Party needs to do to move forward? Columbia resident Reese Ellis wrote, "Democrats need to focus their resources strategically rather than trying to compete everywhere at once. The steep decline in House seats from 2008 to 2014, followed by the sweep in 2016, and McCaskill's defeat during a blue wave was obviously physically traumatizing like 1984. But there's almost a rush to reestablish rural dominance, which is something that isn't going to happen flat out, at least not in the 2020s, but probably longer. Rural outreach matters to win statewide. You can't get blown out. But diverting resources into districts when none of the fundamentals favor you isn't the answer." What do you think about that?
It's mostly true. In any election, you only have so many resources. And you're going to prioritize those. You know, in this election, there were about a half a dozen state Senate races and maybe 20-some House races that were top-tier targets that got maximum resources and effort. Others got other resources and other support because you can't support them all the same. So, yeah, you prioritize those top-tier districts that are the closest and most likely to win, but you also have to have people show up in those other rural districts. And there's some great data out there that shows that your statewide candidates also fare substantially better where you have all or most of your state legislative candidate spots filled. So I think it's a both and in this case, that you have to show up in those rural areas, even in the areas that are really tough for Democrats. You still have to show up. Because a vote in, you know, Cape Girardeau counts the same as a vote in St. Louis.
I'm talking with Russ Carnahan, the chairman of the Missouri Democratic Party. We'll get back to this conversation in just a moment. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.
Welcome back to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Let's get back to my conversation with Missouri Democratic Party Chairman Russ Carnahan. We're talking about how the party intends to improve after another disappointing election cycle. I want to go back to our listener comments. Angie Marie on Instagram writes, "I think Democrats need to be in places that make them uncomfortable. Go on radio, podcasts, social media that people are on. Less people have cable. Most get their news elsewhere." It's undeniably true that most of the broadcast outlets, especially radio stations, have a conservative bent. Should Democrats make the effort to go on these types of programs, even if they encounter hosts that may be mean to them and they can just be mean back?
Yeah, I think that's part of showing up in rural Missouri. Most areas, even the smallest communities in Missouri, they have a, you know, traditional newspaper or electronic newspaper or radio station that where they get their or websites where they get their hyper local news. You know, who covers the local, you know, high school football games, and you know that's those are places where Democrats need to show up and be visible, and that's one of the reasons we're organizing really an effort to better organize our rural Democratic committees and Democratic clubs and get candidates out there So they have a chance to do that.
How do you do that, though, especially getting county parties that are in difficult areas of the state for Democrats to be more effective? Because it takes money, but it also takes like a critical mass, too, that just may not be there in a county that only has 10,000 people or less.
Yeah. And in those counties, frankly, a little bit of effort and information goes a long way. Just getting them information on messaging that they can share on social media or with local media, getting them connected. You know, we've had success with many larger, better organized counties adopting smaller counties to help them get organized and showing them programs and things they can do. And then, of course, the state party giving them things they can do, better list, better data for targeting. And so those are things that go a long way with those small county committees and Democratic clubs that we think the Democratic Party statewide has done better. But also to be sure, as you mentioned, much of the campaigning has been candidate-led, but candidates come and go. Mm-hmm. They get beat or they retire or they're termed out. The party has to be that constant that can be the keeper of that infrastructure and sharing as those changes happen.
Several listeners said that there needs to be more outreach to labor union members. Como Carpenter on TikTok writes, "I'm a union carpenter. Every job has gang boxes with bumper stickers against right to work. Get people into the field and explain the truth about the money, and guys will vote on their wallet. Back it up with real investment in infrastructure in the state, rebuild the institutions, and show them what we've been missing the 20 years the red team has had the ball." So a couple of things I want to ask you from this question. Why do you think Republicans have been able to make gains with particularly trade union members, even though, as you mentioned correctly, Democrats have clearly been more amenable to things seen as pro-union, like being against right to work, which bars unions and employers from requiring workers to pay dues as a condition of employment? Like, almost every Democrat is against right to work, but you did see Republicans make tangible gains among some unions. Why do you think that happened?
Again, it may be part of a generational thing too. We saw got reports from many labor leaders that, you know, one town hall in particular I heard about where one of the senior labor officials got up who'd been in the union a long time, and he had a economic chart of how unions had you know, dollar for dollar done better under Democrats and Democratic policies to really make the pocketbook issue. And the report was a lot of the younger union members there didn't know that history. And so, again, it gets back to messaging, telling the story about what has worked, the difference that Democratic leaders and their policies have made in pocketbook union issues, I think, is critical to continue to tell that story, particularly for the younger union members coming up today.
This comment from Gigi on Instagram really caught my attention because I think it gets to the core of what Missouri Democrats may need to do. They need to figure out how to communicate simple messages, clear math. They need ways to explain how the system was rigged and what the plan is to unring it. Then think of outreach that isn't annoying. Get-togethers that are not $100 dinners, year-round initiatives that don't feel like weird pop-up bars, ways to get signs that aren't donating money. They need to build community and not just by phone calling and knocking on doors. They need to create events people want to come to and use that to make connections. And this dovetails with what I've heard from people who are particularly from rural parts of the state, that politics wasn't just going out and campaigning for people. It was a part of like the social fabric of their community. And right now, like, there's been like a flip in some parts of rural Missouri where, you know, in the 70s or 80s, if you were an out Republican, you would be shunned and ostracized. And now it's like the opposite. Or in the city of St. Louis, if you're a Republican, people are like, wow, that's the first Republican I've ever seen in the city of St. Louis. So how does that play a role in rebuilding the party, like recreating some of these social dynamics that got people to vote for Democrats?
This is my favorite question you've asked. So I thank the caller that wrote that question in. But yeah, politics should be fun. You know, I mean, it's important. It does, you know, deal with some of the biggest and most important issues of the day. But this should be fun. It should be social. And, you know, you'd have gatherings that people want to go to. So that's part of what I would say is the art of politics. You know, how do you find that? And it's different in every community. You know, one community has an annual pie auction that is like one of the biggest social events of the year in their rural community. You know, in St. Louis, we used to have, Democratic meetings and move them around to different local bars and restaurants, again, to make them fun. But we'd have guest speakers. And so it was something that you did, people wanted to go to. But I think that's a challenge that not just political parties are having, but, you know, other social organizations, churches, you name it, they're having trouble getting people to be members and show up to actual meetings and do things. And so, again, it's not unique to politics, but politics has a unique, I think, opportunity to really be creative about how we get people engaged.
How does a Democratic candidate in a rural, solidly red county make themselves known and kind of become more ingrained in their community, especially when a lot of their neighbors may have a very negative perception of the Democratic Party because, I don't know, they watch Fox News all day, they have gotten plunged into social media rabbit holes that are not favorable to Democrats. Like, how do candidates kind of break through some of those very real barriers?
Well, typically, I mean, people get known in those communities not through politics. They're known because, you know, they were a teacher in the local school, or they were a leader in the Kiwanis Club, or, you know, they run a local business that where people got to know them. And so those sort of networks can spill over into politics. My favorite example is that we had for many years a state representative down in southwest Missouri, Dr. Tommy McDonnell. Mm-hmm. And he was a country doctor. He had birthed probably most of the babies in the county over several decades. And he was a Democrat in a hard, hard red Republican county, got elected every time, drove the Republicans crazy. And people just knew him because he was Dr. Tommy. And so he was well known outside of politics, and people knew him, and he had credibility. So that's those kind of candidates are great to be able to make that transition to be candidates, and they're that people trust. They know they're a neighbor. They've known them through other ways.
If I'm not mistaken, the Missouri Democratic State Committee meets this weekend. And I think that's when chair and leadership elections will happen. Do you plan on running for another term as Missouri Democratic Party chairman?
I do. I've shared that information with our committee and look forward to that.
Why do you want to keep doing this job?
That is a great question. When I first did this, I got a strange combination of condolences and congratulations and that very same question. But, I mean, first of all, it's important. And even I've had Republican friends tell me, you know, Missouri's only going to get better if the Democratic Party gets stronger and push out some of the extremists in the Republican Party and we have more balanced politics. We'll get better policy. And so that's on us. But I think that's, and for me personally, you know, I learned organizing, working in my dad's campaigns from as a kid and college student. But I like that, sort of the political geek in me, I guess, loves that organizing and putting those building blocks together and figuring out that art of politics, how to get the right people around the table, and then reaching out to, you know, the constituencies in Missouri, whether it's labor unions, teachers, you know, law enforcement, environmental folks. It's like building that coalition is to me, the art of this, and we know we can do this here. And one of the things that really stood out to me during the campaign, and Crystal Quaid said this on the stump, she said, Missouri is not a red state. We're a non-voting state. And particularly in this election where we had a lot of folks didn't turn out in St. Louis and Kansas City, if we get back to like normal levels of turnout, Missouri is all of a sudden very much more competitive. So I think that's the challenge, and I think that's the focus going forward, to find those allies, find ways to reach those folks that are staying home for whatever reason, to motivate them, knock on their door, find them at their work or their other connections that they have, and make that connection to show them it matters.
Russ Carnahan is the chairman of the Missouri Democratic Party. Russ, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks again.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Edited by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer. Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.